So, Father, thank you and speak to us in your son's name. Amen. So we are talking about what is God like. This is our series, which I think we talked about that. The very necessary. We're even now doing this in the Sunday school because honestly, if I don't know what God is like at a young age, then I don't know how to think about Him. So people think of God as hellfire and damnation. And I remember, like, I grew up and it was like, you know, don't put anything on the Bible or you're going to hell. I remember the Bible had to stay open on our table in the living room. And it could collect dust. I just couldn't put anything on top of it. You know, and I remember as a child, I'd go through the pictures in the Bible. And I kept on thinking, what's God like? And I remember one time I read, somehow God put this in my hand. I still Tuesday can't remember how. But maybe I was in a doctor's office or something, but I read an article, and I was young. I was 12. And I read that God could speak to me, and I could speak to Him. And I was like, that blew my mind. Like, so what is that like? And what is He like? And do I want to speak to Him? Do I really want to speak to God? You know, and do I really want Him to speak to me? So that's why I think it's important to make this... At any time in our Christianity, we should have a time like this where we rehearse what God is like to convince ourselves and speak to ourselves at times when we're going to need that. And when you're young, you need it as a foundation, and it's very important. So we introduced it even in church, and then we introduced it to the Bible Club and everyone had the best response. And I realized everything within our heart wants to know what God is like, and we want to believe. Everything within us wants to believe that God cares. We're not sure He does, but we want to believe He cares. And I don't care. Anybody says, I remember when I was younger, they used to give what they call these chick tracks. It's like little mini comic books, and there were flames everywhere. And I was like, you know, reading these things in horror. And I was like, okay, you know, I got to be good, or I'm going there. But that doesn't, like, paint a great picture. This would be, let me give you an example. This would be like, you know, Lorraine is a grandma. And what if someone said, oh, what's your grandma like? Okay, on Mother's Day. Let's say little Micah, he comes and said, what's grandma like? She hits really hard. She spanks hard. In fact, she yells and she's beating me. Like, would Lorraine be horrified? Like, she's in Sunday church, and we're asking, what is grandma like?
Yeah, I'd be shocked.
Yes! Well, can you imagine the bad rap God has been getting through the ages? What is God like? He sends people to hell. Well, it's like, okay, I'm sure at some point Lorraine has had to, out of love, correct Micah. You know, and I'm sure, like, those who are moms here, and even and those who are young moms will learn how to correct, because that's called guidance. And without it, people get hit. Little kids get hit trying to cross the street because nobody corrected them. Little children, and I see this all over Africa. Man, I could break my heart right now. But I see so many burned children who just have never been properly taught about the fire.
Wow.
I mean, burns like you would not believe. And you're just horrified because you know how painful a burn is, and you can imagine on young, tender flesh. But so a lack of guidance. I mean, a swift little pat on the butt or what have you, because why? I want to save that child from that, okay? So, but that's not how you describe mom, right? That's not how you describe grandma. And if we came and you guys wanted to know, you want to go meet your, for those who are parents, you want to go meet the teacher. And you ask your child, so what is your teacher like? No, they do this anyway. And you say, what is the teacher like? Oh, she punishes us a lot. And then you go away and you find out, no, right? You find out the truth most of the time, okay? My mom was keen. I found out later she would go behind me and go see the teacher so that that way I couldn't see and be think that I had won or anything, and I couldn't be there to influence that. And I thought that was one of the smartest things, because I never knew until I was an adult that she was privately talking to the teacher. So I say that the reality is we can't take a child's opinion, right? But we, as human, can't take other humans' opinion about what God is like, because it's possible that they've been affected by something. So the only thing that we can use is the Bible. We would rather God describe himself. I'd rather go and say, Lorraine, tell me what you're like. Then I can know you. And God is truth. God is truthful. You know, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So God talks about himself. John the Baptist in John 1, he says, listen, I'm not really here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about the light. I'm here to tell you about the light, Christ. I'm not here. And he says, well, what do we, and they would come after, well, what do, we want to know more about you. He goes, no. He says, he must increase, I must decrease. I'd rather that you know about him, not about me. And so God, Christ, came to declare himself. He said things about, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He came and said these things like, "What did I say? That I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said these things about himself to describe himself. He actually didn't walk around saying, I'm the Son of God. Me, Son of God. Son of God! You know, Son of God. What he did was he described himself by his words and by his actions. He fed the multitude. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He loved the condemned. And John 8, the woman caught in adultery, he described himself by what he didn't do as much as by what he did. That's important. God describes himself. He just does. So this Bible study is about God describing himself, because honestly, when I'm by myself and I'm alone at night or what have you, I need to know the truth. Because I can have 1,000 voices in my head. And there's a great verse in Psalm 94 that says, in the many thoughts within my head, these comforts delight my soul. This is what God is like. So I don't let other people describe him to you, because if they don't describe him the way we're going to talk about him, it ain't right. And not because I'm saying it, because the way we're going to talk about him is the way that is from the Bible. So therefore it is right. Not because I said it, but because the Bible says it. And God wrote a letter to man to say that, just so there's no mistake, I want you to know who I am. And any of us, when that's kind of the responsibility. When I talk to another person about God, it's my responsibility that I accurately represent it. That I am not Micah describing my last experience with Grandma. She spanks hard. Okay? That I am, as an adult daughter, describing to someone who doesn't know him, to them, that I am presenting God as who he is and who he has declared himself through two means, through the words of the Bible and through my experience with him, as long as it lines up with the words in the Bible. I say, you know what, God's been amazing. The blind man says, I was blind, but now I see. That's his experience. The lame man says, you know, I couldn't walk, but now I can walk. The woman at the well in John 4 says, listen, come and see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. She describes him. And then they come, and then they hear, and their lives are changed. It's a very big responsibility. The attribute we've been discussing, I tried to leave it, but I didn't. And actually, Lorraine got sick, so I held off. So for 2 weeks, we haven't talked about it. Because I really want to finish up on this, but it has been burning in me for 2 weeks. So we're going to finish, and it'll apply. You won't have missed anything, because we're talking about that God is light. Okay? God is light. And I want to talk a little bit about, we talked about how God is light, and in many different aspects. And the last one we talked about, that we are the light of the world. Now, I want to take off on that, because we're in a very interesting time right now. And light is very interesting. So we're going to start in John 1, verse 5.
There are Bibles all over there if you can just pass them out for whoever wants them. Right there next to, yeah.
There's some Doyle ones.
Okay. I don't know if you forgot that I'm blind. Okay, so John 1:5. And it says here that, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, and here, interesting, in the King James, it said the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, what does it say, comprehendeth it not. Interesting words. What does that really mean? And that's, we're here to talk a lot about light, and this other part of light that we as Christians are to be. And remember, we said there, for some who weren't here, we have two types of attributes. What is God like? We talk about what God is like two different ways. One is, God is like something that I can never be. The Bible says that God is everywhere present. I will never, ever be everywhere present. The Bible says that God is all-powerful. I will never, ever be all-powerful. The Bible says that God knows everything. I will never, ever know everything. Okay? But then also the Bible says that God is love. That's another attribute. Now, I can be love. I can give love. These are attributes. These are what God is like that he designed me to be. We're talking about another one tonight, that God is light. He designed me to be light. In fact, remember he says, I am the light of the world. And then he says, you are the light of the world. He designed me to be that. So this is an aspect of, he said, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Now, this is talking about Christ, but this is actually what God is, has intended us to be. And it is sometimes a failure point in Christianity. Okay? This afternoon, we were talking with, I was talking with the pastor of Shiloh Baptist and another pastor, and we were talking about, like, when Israel left Egypt. Okay, they fled and they ran away. Some of the Egyptians came with them. And what we call that is a mixed multitude, meaning like they came along to follow, but in all reality, they didn't know the God of Israel. And we can have a mixed multitude mindset. We can mix some of the world and mix some of God. And actually, that's what one of Jacob's wives, Rachel, did. She believed in God, but she had her little idols. And maybe some of you know the story, but it's a cute story. Not really a crazy story, but I'll tell it to you. So Jacob says, we're leaving. We're going to leave now. We're leaving. His wife said, okay. So she went and stole her father's little idols, put them in her pocket, and they left. Her father realizes, oh my gosh, my idols are gone. Just like, you know, our fathers would. Just kidding. He goes after her. So he goes after them and he accuses Jacob, like, you took my idols. Now Jacob worships only God. He's like, I didn't take your idols, I worship God. God is the one who told me to leave. He goes, I don't believe you. He goes, well, search my tent. Well, who's in his tent? His wife, Rachel. So Rachel's keen. So she sits down, she hears her father outside and sits on her idols. And then they're searching everywhere, spent tear the tent apart. And they come near Rachel, and she goes, I'm sorry, I can't get up. I have my period. It's my time of month. Please forgive me. I can't get up. So they're like, oh, okay, all right. And they leave her alone, and they leave the tent. And Rachel gets to protect her little gods. Well, let's be realistic. If I have to protect my little gods, how are they gods? You know, my God doesn't need protection. He protects me. So how are they gods? So here's an example of a mixed multitude mentality. I love God. I follow this God who's all powerful, and I protect my little gods. We can have that in our mindset. And when God says that I'm light, he's saying to me, we talked about light is to tell other people about light. We said that God is light, and that means many other things. That, you know, that God is light, that there's no darkness in him. That's a beautiful thing for us. You know, he can be depended upon to be light. But here's the thing. God has intended that I would be light. But not just to tell others, but that I would stand out. It's not even about the words. It's not a single word. It is I am supposed, the word here, then the darkness does not comprehend, it means it does not absorb me.
Darkness is not meant to absorb me. Okay? We were driving here from the church to get here, and I see the big McDonald's sign. Now, how many have driven on the highway on a long trip, and you want to stop somewhere to eat? What do you look? And then you see what? The golden arches lit up, right? You can see them from a mile away. You're like, okay, finally a rest stop, right? And they do a better job than Burger King, although I prefer Burger King. But the golden arches you can see from forever, you know. And you can kids, if they can draw nothing else, they can draw the golden arches. And I was thinking about the amount of money they must pay on a monthly basis for those golden arches. But they are, when you think America, now I've been in many, many countries around the world, and guess what we have everywhere? The golden arch. I've been like in crazy countries, and you know, I'm like, I can't touch that, I can't eat that, I can't do that. And then I'll see, because McDonald's is all over the world now, and I'll see these golden arches, and I'm like, thank you. Now, I'm not even a McDonald's fan, but at least I know it's American food in there. So I will go in there, and I will eat my... And actually, McDonald's overseas is 10 times better than McDonald's here. All the food is fresh. It's fantastic. But I see those golden arches, and I'm like, yes. Okay? Why? Because they're separate. It's like all of the... God bless anyone who listens to this. They're separate from some of the other foods that I, as an American, am not used to. And I look at them and it stands out. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not absorb it. As I was driving here, the McDonald's arches were not absorbed by the night. Every light that's lit is not absorbed by it. And God is saying, I want you not to be absorbed. Rachel, I don't want you to talk about me and other gods in the same sentence. That just makes me another little god. I don't want your light to be absorbed by darkness. And I don't want your representation of who I am to be absorbed by darkness. Now, God is God. And he's the real deal. And sometimes I just have to stand with him as light. And automatically, I become light. Because I stand with him. That's it. I say he's light. John the Baptist became light because he bore witness of the light. In fact, Christ said of him later, he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in it. But why? How did he stand out? Did he say, look at me, look at me? Not at all. But he stood out because he was different, and he only ever pointed to the light. The moment I point to light, this is an interesting thing. God makes me light. He just does. And I need to stand out. That makes me different. That makes, you know, as a mother, if you point to the light, you become light. Anyone in a place of workplace, you point to the light, you become light. It's no magic. It's just God. I stand out. And this is interesting because this verse in Philippians 2:15. It says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverted nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 15, you are to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverted nation. Ladies, we're supposed to just stand out. We'll be daughters of light. And then turn to Ephesians 5. In verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, and then it just goes, for we know this, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So this is what he's saying. Those are pretty harsh words. God is saying, you accept me, okay, and I place light inside of you, and you become light. And saying, so don't be like them anymore. He says, I'll help you. From the inside out, I will help you. I will change you. And then you will stand out because you're not like them, right? Because I will make you not like them. You know what I found? That I became a Christian, and I was thinking about when her husband, I remember, he first came, I remember, and he entered the church building with a six-pack in his hand. He didn't know. You know, he's got a six-pack of, we're thinking, oh, it's Coke, it's beer. You know, he's thinking everybody wants beer. He thinks he's being friendly because he doesn't know. He doesn't know that he is, because he's a part of darkness. But we, as light, we loved him, ministered to him, and eventually he put away the beer. Not because, you know, we didn't throw it at him, John, you wicked, throw it at him, you know. It's just that we didn't make it a big deal. But here's the key. We didn't make it a big deal because we were ministering to him so that he would be changed. This is very important. I am light to people, to love them, and the goal is that they would be changed by my love. God's love does not make you change, it produces a change. You will be changed by my light because my light is connected to God's love. If it's not, it's not the right source. It's got to be connected, and it will change you. It just will. It will. It's powerful. If my heart is open, I was amazed at the things that I stopped doing. I was talking to a man who's older now, and I was fascinated. I always ask these type of questions. How is the man, Tony, is it Tony? No, who got married?
Tom.
How is Tom related to you?
It's my boyfriend's family.
Okay. Tom was talking to me on Sunday, and he was talking to me all about how he'd stopped smoking. And it was fascinating. And then at the end of everything, we talked for like an hour, and I loved at the end of it. You know what he said to me? He said, it's a new beginning. And I thought to myself, what was his new wife? I said, this is light. This is light. He told me, I came into the church. He said, I came in earlier that day. This is what he said to me. He said, I came in because I was so fearful this past Sunday. I thought everybody was going to talk about the fact that I had been living with my wife for 11 years. I mean, with her for 11 years. And he was shocked that nobody mentioned it. You know, we're not even like, you know what I mean? We believe that God will change and what have you. But I was just like, I was blessed by that because I didn't pay attention to that. But he said it, and he said to us twice, he said, it's a new beginning. Now, who did that? You know, did I, hey, huh? Beat him into a new beginning? No. Light does that. It doesn't let darkness absorb it. And it actually, the Bible says that, no, another word for it overtakes. So it overtakes the darkness inside of me. And it wins. Light wins. When we turn on the light, it won. Instantly. It was dark before I turned the light switch on. Now light gets turned on, it wins. I don't have to fight it. I'm not here going, okay, stay. Stay. Oh, you can do it. Okay, it's still lit. You know, when God lights us up from the inside, we stay lit. He lights once and it's good, and it changes, and it continually, and actually, it's the darkness that's overtaken by it. And light overcomes darkness. Okay? It just overtakes, and it penetrates. It is not penetrated by the darkness. It penetrates. This light I can see all of you by. It has penetrated the darkness. Without a question for us. And the more light I turn on, the more I can see. And that is really the reality of why when God says, I'm light and you're light, that it doesn't overtake me. I want, and then he says a great verse in John 12:35. He says, walk while you have the light, so that darkness does not overtake you. God's saying, I put light inside of you. Now I want you to walk with this light. He did all the work. He says, walk while you have the light so that darkness does not overtake you. And then let there be a clear separation. Okay? God lightens us. And he says, actually, our light will get brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Sometimes in a situation, all I can be is light. You know, and we think that that's not enough, but it is enough. Sometimes I'm just going to stand here and stay there, and it could be a lot of craziness. Remember I read those verses, a lot of uncleanness and perversion can go around me, but I'm just going to be there, what? Not being absorbed by it. I was thinking that Christ could sit among the sinners and publicans and cheaters and everything else. He just wasn't absorbed by it. He said, I'm light. And he said, Christ, aren't you going to be no, I'm light. See, I'm light. And when I turned on, I am not affected by it. You change. I don't change. Light doesn't change. I'm not going to come upstairs and come back down and say, look at it again. Right? The only time a light dims is when the source is bad. But otherwise, it's fine. I don't keep checking the light. Hey, do you think that light will stay on all night? Right? How about the sun? Do any of you wake up in the sun in the morning, look at the sun to make sure it's still shining? No. The expectation is that every one of us will go to bed tonight, we'll wake up, and the sun will lighten and make the day. It's in us, ladies. We don't have to make a big deal about it. Let God grow the light. It will grow. The day star will arise in us. This light will shine in us. It just will shine. I just want to say one more thing about it. I got a little upset when I read, I was on a certain, I don't know, it made me, I have no idea why I went to a certain church's website. It's not a church that's around here at all. But I heard some things and I wanted to read up on it. So I went to a certain church's website and they were about to preach about something and they put reference sources for you to read. So I thought, I'll look at the sources. So I found the two books that they went to and then I was horrified as reference to read. And something bothered me, and that's actually what prompted this. It bothered me for days. And then I understood. That light is being absorbed by darkness. It's slow, but it's a slow absorption. But it's happening. I would want people to come into the church. I came into the church because the church was bright. I remember. People loved me. I was like, this is weird. I'm not even kidding. I was like, they're all kind. I'm like, this is weird. It took me a while. I kept coming back out of curiosity because this can't be real. This is weird. You're weird. You just told me you loved me. You know, and people would hug me. I never hugged them back. The entire year, I didn't hug a single person back. They'd hug me. I'm like this. I'm like, this is so crazy. Who's like this? Why? They didn't change. They were always light to me, regardless of my response. Light stays light regardless of darkness. Do you understand? Darkness, I was going to be changed. And that was over time. Now I'm entertained because I'm the same. And I see the expressions on people's faces because they're just trying to figure out, these people can't be true. And I'm like entertained because I'm like, yes, we are. Because we're the real deal. Because we are pointing to God. It's not inside of me. I'm not in my flesh. There's no, in my body, there's no natural goodness in me. But God has changed me. So I can truly say I love you because God has changed me. And I'm light because I wasn't before. I was darkness. But now I'm light. And he lit me up. So it's easy to tell you how much God loves you. It's not a chore. I don't go home and recite in the mirror, God loves you, God loves you. Come on, Tasha. Say it 100 times so you can say it for real to somebody. It's easy. It comes out. I understood after a while why they would say I love you. It couldn't help themselves. Came out. God loves me. God loves people. And So I like that. Why? The darkness is not absorbing me. The darkness was being changed to light. What I don't like is this. You introduce into your church a book called from a gay celibate. And he's proud about that, wrote a book on it. So you want to be a homosexual celibate, meaning celibacy means I'm not going to have sex with anybody. But you're going to celebrate it and have a book about it. I said, okay, if you're going to have the gay celibate, how about you be, this one be the fornicating Christian. Let's have another book, and then we will call it, you know, the alcoholic saint. Does that make any sense? No. Because God, Christ never called us that way. And the woman of John 4 and the woman of John 8 especially, who was caught in adultery, he just said, go and sin no more. He didn't send her a list of rules. He didn't whatever. He had already loved her by not condemning her. He said, just go and sin no more. And she looked up at him. And he said to her, who condemns you? And she said, no man. No man. And he goes, and then he says the most incredible words that ever could be said to us. Neither do I, God, I'm God, and neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's a lot of power. That's light. That just lit up the atmosphere. But he doesn't walk around, and she's not going to walk and make a book on calling the prostitute Christian. The adulterous Christian, right? We don't celebrate our darkness. We celebrate light. Because if I celebrate darkness, then my darkness is not going to be changed. But actually, my light, the light around me in the church, will slowly be absorbed by darkness. Because everyone will talk about, well, it's amazing that he felt he could write the book. I'm not interested in your catalog list of where you came out of. I want to be in a place where people love me for what I can be and what they see that I am, not for what I was. Don't write your book about that. You know, you can give a small testimony in church if it's appropriate, but that's it. You don't write a book about it because you're kind of celebrating being gay. And you're saying, I struggle with it, but I'm celibate. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, the Bible, God didn't have a whole whatever about stuff like that. So I just realized that that's what we call insidious. The word, it just kind of works its way into the church. And it will work its way into the church to make me sympathetic. And that what was being said was we should welcome these people into the church. I'm like, we should welcome any sinner into the church. But we don't ask them at the door, which sin are you coming in with? You know, it's like, that's retarded. We're all sinners. Well, the church is universal. The message of the gospel, we come in because we need the message of the gospel and God will change us. But I don't come in and give a catalog of my sins and celebrate it, nor do I want church time taken with that. I'm here because I need to hear about God's love. And I'm guessing that he'll change my darkness because I don't have the power to change it. That's why we call him Savior. He changes me. I don't fix me. You know, and so also when I'm celebrating it, if you want to write a book, buddy, write a book about the goodness of God. You know, write about the goodness of God. But don't infiltrate the church with anything else because we don't need to hear about it. And you could say, well, this is coming in this day and age. We need to talk about it. I don't know about that. I mean, Christ didn't talk about the catalog list of sins that day. I never got what in that day and age, what was, you know, he just hit sin. Sin is sin. It's just ugly, and every one of us has it. And the one thing I don't really want to be discussing my sin is church. I'd rather, that's like going to the hospital and discussing all day long my symptoms. I didn't come to you for that. I could do that at home. I came to you because you're a doctor. Well, you've got this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Can you imagine an appointment like that? I'm like, okay. And this and this and this and this. You're absolutely right. Okay. Okay. All right. Great to see you. Wait a minute. Whoa. What are you talking about here? I came because it's an emergency room, right? This is where you fix my broken arm, not stare at it. You know? So I want that. And that's the church. Why? Because darkness is tricky. Darkness doesn't want to change. it wants to absorb. So his darkness, with, oh, that's celebrating, that's amazing. No, 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 no. He doesn't want to change. He wants his mindset, Satan wants that mindset to absorb the light in the church. So all he wants is this light here to get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer before eventually it becomes just darkness. I say no to that. I say I want to go to a place where there's light and righteousness and love, because I want to be changed. I don't want to be condemned, but I do want to be changed. I don't need you to condemn me. I could do that at home. But I need to be changed. So I don't want that to change. Like, I don't want, like, a hospital, which happened, and how many of you ever heard of Mercer? Okay, Mercer's in the hospital now, and basically it's made people afraid to go to the hospital. It's a new bacteria that grows basically in those type of environments. That's like the church. It's growing Mercer. I don't want that, because now I'm afraid to go. And we had a friend who went to the hospital and got an operation and got Mercer. The one thing you want to do is get better in the hospital. You think the white walls and everyone's doing sanitized, that's great. Make me better. Don't give me another disorder, disease that I can't get rid of. Well, that's the same way with the church. I want the church to stay pure. I don't want Christ to be like me. I want Christ to be like God. But I just want him to love me. And that's what he's like. He loves me. He's light and he loves me. And I and everyone in the church, we need to celebrate light and love and not let darkness absorb. That makes sense? So at your workplace or whatever, don't change, don't adjust, don't whatever. You be light. God will show you how. You don't have to be loud or whatever. Just be light. Just appreciate the, what God is doing in your life. It will be light enough. You don't have to make a big deal. You just be who you are. It'll take care of itself. But you don't let darkness absorb you. And as God changes you, appreciate what God is doing. And then appreciate and be a part of a church that's light. Because there's just nothing like it. I love just going in and breathing in God. It's sometimes I'm really down in the dumps. Sometimes I'm, you know, hurting. Sometimes I just need to. And I walk in, and then you need to find a church where that's the case. Where God love is there, and also his light. It's like going into a hospital, what it should have been. When I go with my broken whatever, I stumble into that door because I know if I can just get in the door, they will help me. The church should be the same way. That sometimes, that's what an ambulance for, right? As fast as they can. And the last thing I'll say is, we know that as a great illustration, there was a man who couldn't walk, so his friends knew, I got to get him to the hospital. So Christ is speaking. What do? They took the roof off of a house, ripped it up, and dropped this man down. They didn't care, because why? They knew Christ could heal him. That should be the church. Doesn't matter how you get in the door, you get in there, and God fix me. That's light. Light does that. Light has the power. If it was darkness, it would have no power. It would have no power at all. You know? Because it just doesn't have power to heal. It doesn't have power to change. It only imitates. And you walk out the same or worse because you are what you just walked out of. If I walk out of the hospital still bleeding, wrong hospital. Wrong hospital. I want to come out with my arm set with the idea that I can, that this will get better. That's the way it should be. That's what God, he didn't come, and last I'll close with this, in John 3, he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God, he said, okay, I'm light, I'm going to talk about it, but I'm not here to condemn you. It's just that you could be changed. That's what I came for. Isn't that amazing? So that was been on my mind. I just was very unhappy with that. And we have to be very careful. You protect the hospital. When Mercer came in, everyone went crazy because everyone trusts the hospital. You know? I've been to many countries where you can't trust a hospital. You know, and many churches, unfortunately, where you can't trust them. So I want to be in an environment, but some people stop going to churches. I spoke to a man here in New York, it was actually a couple years ago, and he had stopped going to church. And I asked him, because I said, "Do you have children?" He said, "I have two." I said, "Let me ask you this. If they get hurt and they need to go to the hospital, are you going to take them?" He said, "Absolutely." That's something like, that's interesting. But what if you found out one of the hospitals that, like, and some people could say Memorial here has a bad reputation, but, like, what if you found that Memorial has a bad reputation? Are you not going to take them to a hospital? Of course I am. What are you going to do? I'm going to go take them to the other hospital. I'm going to find a hospital because my child needs attention. I said, interesting. Your soul needs attention. You find a bad church, okay. Okay, you can say this is not working for me. This is not whatever. But then you need to find the place that does. You don't sit around because your soul needs attention. And for your children's sake, I said to him, my gosh, my mom, God bless her. Because there were moments, and we were three kids, and she was single for a good period of time after my father died, and she had to work. And I understood that when I was little, but she found a church, and she made sure that I went to church. And I don't think I'd be sitting here today if she hadn't done that. So you do whatever you can. I think parents, you have a responsibility. That child is going to look at you, and they're going to wonder if there's a God, and you're responsible to be able to tell them there is light. Don't be absorbed by the darkness. You be light. You be light to them. I'm a living example of what that looks like. You be light, and if you haven't found a good hospital, you find another one. You find the better hospital. You would do that if your child was dying. I just, before the Bible study, I went over and saw a Christian little boy who'd been throwing up. Like, if they couldn't figure it out, they were going to find a hospital, right? You're going to find it. It reminds me of a story. I said, I'm closing. I'm still closing. I'm going to close one more time. True story, but some people went to visit up a certain village, and they were noticing that people were had sick people in these wheelbarrows, and in this village, there was a hospital. And they were driving right by, in the wheelbarrows, right by that hospital. And they kept going in the wheelbarrows with these sick people, and they were taking them out of town. And they're like, but the hospital's right there. What are you doing? So they followed where the wheelbarrows were going, and they found, like, it was miles away, a mission hospital run by missionaries. And they went there, and they said, why would you, these people obviously very sick, this is in town, why would you walk this many miles? It was a very simple answer. They love us. You know what? That's really what you want in a church. A reason people will travel to you. A reason for people, because they know they're loved. So they're willing to go the extra strenuous miles, risking the life of this, because they said, and that one, we don't know, we can't trust it. But this one, they love us. So we'll go the extra. True story. It's fascinating, huh? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we want a church that's full of light and love, because that's everything. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Father, just thank you tonight. There's light and love in you, and that we can be light. May we be light, and may we, as we just sit or walk or talk, God, may people know that they can, and that may people be drawn to that. May we be a little first aid center and healing different wounds, and then may we be able to take them to the great big hospital. And God, just help us. Thank you that you draw us. Thank you that you don't condemn us. We've all felt like the woman caught in adultery, no matter what we were caught in. We all felt very exposed, maybe if only in our hearts. And to have you say, I don't condemn you, that you didn't come to the earth. You could have come to the earth with all your glory of riding a lightning bolt. And if someone were to say, that's what God, this God is like, we would say absolutely. But how can we say you're like that when you came as a baby, when you lived among us, when all you did while you were here was teach and love us and heal us? You were amazing, God. And that's what you're like. May we be like that too. and may we not be absorbed by darkness, but rather may we be light. We just praise you and thank you in your son's name. Amen. Any comments? Any questions? Good to know. I will say this, just so you know, that a few of us next week will be in South Africa, and we'll be ministering to some very needy women. You can pray for us. And we will meet some of you, know Sophie there, and we will be giving a bunch of Bible studies like this for a few days to some women. This Bible study will go on. A very good friend of mine, I'm very happy, said that she has been a missionary for 20 years in the underground church in China and in South Korea. And she's agreed to drive up here, because right now she's on like basically furlough in Baltimore. She's going to drive up here and do this Bible study. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. You know, and so she's going to pick up continuing the series, but she'll be here at 7 o'clock, and the Bible study will still happen, and then hopefully you'll pray for us while we're there and pray for these ladies that we will be ministering to. You know, it's just great to do that, to represent God that way. But I'm very excited for her coming, and I think that you guys will definitely love her and enjoy her and, you know, enjoy her life. But so she'll be here. Cool. All right, any other any questions or comments? And bring someone, if you think of it, you know, someone who could just use this. It's a dark world. And you really realize that it was in Bible studies like these that I really learned who God was. I realized I didn't know him. I remember that I was at a ladies' class, and the teacher began talking to me about what God is like, and was talking kind of like what I'm talking about now, and that he doesn't condemn me, and that, you know, what have you. And I had been had such a poor understanding of God that under my breath I said, blasphemy. Now, she was only quoting the Bible, but I realized that I had been raised in my head with such a wrong picture of God, and I needed God to undo that. So sometimes you can think of different ones around you. Some of them just need an opportunity for that to be undone. Because God's not up in heaven smiling about it any more than Lorraine would be smiling if little Micah said that about her. It would break her heart. Because in her mind, she knows what she is to him and how much she loves him. And God is in heaven, and he's not happy. At times, he's God, he's love or what have you, but he is not. He does not approve, or nor is he desirous that he be represented that way. In fact, there were times he was very angry with prophets who misrepresented him, you know, because he is who he is, you know. In fact, he yelled at the Pharisees on the earth. Remember, he went off on them. He just went off. He said, you are blind leaders of the blind. You do this, you do that. And you do not represent me. You know, in fact, he told his disciples, he said, you can do what they say, yeah, right? He said, don't become like them. They're not me. You know, if they tell you don't walk in the street, you can listen to that. But he said, don't become like them. Because they misrepresented him. They added to it. They added way too much. That's why we'd like to just speak from the Bible. God's pretty good at explaining himself. He doesn't need man to add these extra traditions and lies that are not of God. You know. I remember one person recently told me, and she was older, and she said, it was only recently that she found out that she could read the Bible. Her whole life she was told she should not, and that they would tell her what was right.
Was she Catholic?
No, she was Methodist. And she's just like, she was saying, like, I was shocked. She said, yeah, I was just told that this is the way it is, and we'll take care of that for you. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. That would be like Micah finding out he can't talk to his grandma except through somebody else. You know, doesn't look that way. And then you don't know. And they did. They added all of these extra things to it. And she doesn't know that. And I'm sorry to say that it's worse in Africa because with women. I know of women who pastors have slept with them because they told them that God wants them to. Horrific, huh? Who just took advantage of them in the church.
They weren't claiming to be Christians, were they?
Yeah. They said that they're pastors and they were explaining the Bible this way. And this is who God is. Can you imagine this is who God is? So we will declare who God is based on his word. And it's important. Just like, because it's the truth. We need to know that 2 plus 2 equals 4. You don't want to go through your whole life thinking 2 plus 2 equals 3 and suffering for it. Because it's so foundational, right? You add wrong, you lose money. So, try to tell that to children. They're like uninterested. You know, I'm like, you'll be interested in 20 years when you can't add your, when you don't even know your boss is cheating you out of your paycheck, when he figures out that he could pay you half as much and you're just as happy. You know? So, because when we don't know, we don't know. Like when I was younger, I worked my first job, first real job, and the boss took advantage of me working. I was working like, I don't know, ridiculous hours. I was only, I was 14, 15, I was working till 2 in the morning at IHOP, washing dishes. And it wasn't, then someone else, my youth leader, found out about it. And I guess went in and had a little discussion. That was the last time that happened. But in all reality, I didn't know, right? Because I didn't know my rights. And when I don't know about God, I won't know. That's, somebody could say, no, that's what God, the God said that. He was like, no, that's not what God's like. But I didn't know, so I did. And then all of a sudden when I found out my rights, and then I got older, and I was like, oh my gosh, at that age, you're not even supposed to work like past 9 o'clock. I barely had a work permit. They were getting something for nothing, basically. And all these other workers were going home, you know. So that's important. Like now you say to me, oh, God said this. I'm like, forget you. That is not who God is. You sell that to somebody else, you know. And that's why, like, it's important. It's not what God's like. Like, when I read that little thing, sorry, gay celibate thing, I'm sorry, that's not what God is like. God is light, okay? And in him is no darkness at all. So.
That's why we have to know his word.
Yep. Absolutely. That's absolutely right. So we learn, and then, and we also have to have an interpreter of the word. Because the letter kills, Christ said, but the spirit gives life. Because sometimes I remember reading the Bible, and I got the Ten Commandments down. And I knew I could break just about every one of them all the time. And then I read Matthew 5 that told me I broke them all just by thinking about things. So then I was really messed up. So I was like, I'm breaking them all, ridiculously so. So what's my... And then you realize, oh, God said he didn't come to condemn me. But actually that he came to sacrifice himself to change me, and he loves me. And when that happened, that was great. It opened up the Bible. I wasn't afraid of the Bible anymore. Because anything you could point out and say, well, God said this, here are the Ten Commandments. And I said, oh yeah, but Christ came to fulfill that. And Christ told me that he knew I couldn't complete that. So he came to love me, and he told me he would change me. And then I found out I'm not breaking the Ten Commandments anymore. Not because he beat me into it, just because he loved me into it. It's different. His way is different. So, it's good stuff, huh? It's a good God. Amen. Can't wait till Sunday. It'll be a great time in church on Sunday. Well, it's great to have every one of you here. There's more food and fellowship or what have you in the kitchen, or, you know, don't feel like we're chasing you out. But just
enjoying. Pray for us, for some of us who will be not here next week.
How long are you going to be gone?
Just about 10 days.
When are you leaving?
I leave on Tuesday, and then like Susie here, and those guys will leave on Wednesday. So, so it'll be.
Who's gone?
Susie, Caitlin, Niasha, and Catherine and myself.
And Niasha's mom. That's right.
So, it'll be. Yeah, I would love it for. I would like all of us to go sometime, one of these trips in the future. So, I mean, this will be Susie's first trip ever. She just got her passport. We drove to Philadelphia to get it. So, you too, don't think it's impossible. And she has a daughter too. And God did it. And, you know, so it's possible. It's possible. It's great to get out and see God in the world. It's not always like I'm going on a missions trip or whatever. It's just great to get out and see God in the world. It'll change you, you know, because you'll see the bigness of God outside of here. So, you know, don't dismiss it from you. All ages. There's a group not connected with us, but somewhere else, and they're leaving on Sunday, and I just found out some of them I know. The youngest person is 60-something, and they're I'm like, do it. And they're going into Tangier. They're going to places that were Morocco, where you can't even publicly do it. But I like it. They're feisty. I'm all about it. I'm like, I bet, okay, God, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like them. Because that's good. That's talk about like feisty, godly feisty. So it's not age deterrent. I mean, there's no age deterrent. It's not age defined. In fact, some of the most of the missionaries I respect historically have been done more in the latter part of their life than the beginning. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Goforth, Hudson Taylor, George Mueller had their greatest numbers in the last part of their life. So, amen.